cliffcentral.com.
Look at this. We're back in our original and enduring CliffCentral.com studio. And look at this. It's everybody's very excited. Enough microphones for all. My buddy's happy because the microphones are very thick and long and big. The way she likes
it. Incompetent in front of my microphone.
Why is your microphone so quiet? What's going on over there?
I didn't touch anything.
Let me just see what's going on with Ben. I knew there'd be one or two hiccups this morning. That's why I got in early. I've been here for a long time. Ben, talk to me.
Hi, Gareth.
Jesus.
Is it better?
Nope, getting worse and worse. Move over there. Sorry. Until we figured out these mics, you can't do whatever you want.
Is that better?
I sound echoey. Is that better? Or is it just my headphones?
Is that better?
No, there's going to be a bit of getting used to the sound. You know, we're so used to that side now, so.
Oh, shit.
There's something ringing, and that's your phone.
Hey, Ben, what's going on? Are you phoning someone?
Well, Gareth, I'm being uprooted here.
Oh, sorry.
Forgive me if I touch a button that I shouldn't.
Isn't this nice, though? We're back in the professional studio. Feel better? Why are you not on now? What the hell's going on here?
This is exciting, though.
It's so bright in here, though. There's new lights in the studio, right?
Yes.
It feels like we're on TV again.
Why is my buddy not on? This is going to drive me crazy. I mean, how can you not be? You were on just now, right?
I thought I was.
Yeah, what the hell? Hang on a second. Let me just figure this out. You're on mic one. It would make sense that you'd be on mic one. No, you're on mic four. Ben, you can go back there. I think you were on mic one.
I'm mic three.
Just test it for me quickly. Let's just do this. This is very professional.
Hi, mic one.
There you are.
Mic one, me.
All right, you.
There we go.
Okay. Hold up. Something just happened.
Studio's on three. Everybody's sorted now.
Wait a minute. I have Mabale's headphone volume.
Oh, my goodness.
Every time you go down, no, I swear, but I'm plugged in on Ben's side.
Oh, my goodness, you're right. I can hear myself now because I moved it to a different...
Okay,
we got
some things to figure out
this
here.
This is so fun, though.
We're like a bunch of drunk people when... I'm sorry, I was sitting here.
Trying so hard to start a car.
I sat here first. I was sitting here. Oh, man. All right, so we're back in our old studio, our proper studio. We've refurbished it. We've done the whole thing up. It looks very sexy. It's new lights, by the way. LEDs, so we don't use up so much electricity.
Very bright.
Oh, yeah. But the lights are brighter by using less.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that clever?
I haven't taken a selfie in here, though, so I don't know how we all look.
Okay, priorities.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine what the photos for the blurbs are going to look like under this light? We've all got to start making an effort again.
Well, we've got more space to do it in now. I actually wanted to create almost like a green screen, somewhere where we can project weird and wacky backgrounds on for all the pictures. Does it look bad, Mubs?
I look bad, okay. But that's... Yeah.
Is that shiny forehead syndrome that Damon always gives you shit
from,
for?
Yeah, yeah. I definitely suffer from that. I do.
Oh. Well, we've got the outside microphone now, which... kind of links to the whole office. We've got a mic for Lucas, which we'll test in a minute or two. It's all happening. Anyway, I brought us muffins to celebrate this morning.
Thanks, Gareth.
That's very sweet.
What's going on? What is everybody up to? How's your back, Ben? Are you 100% recovered yet? Did you go back to your man?
Getting better, Gareth. Bit by bit, I'm getting better. But this is where the story takes a bit of a turn, right? So Daniel and I have this amazing week in Sun City as of tomorrow.
Nice.
So I could not have found a worse time to have an injured back.
Because you wanted to go on all those rides and things.
Playing golf twice.
Mm-hmm.
Both mornings we're there.
Uh-huh.
So
nightmare.
I'm expecting today to be a massive day of recovery, and I'm just going to will it to be so.
Yeah, you really, you're between a rock and a hard place, actually.
Yeah, because look, let's be honest. I mean, I think a lot of things are manifesting into my back breaking down right now. I think half of which are chiropractical issues. So I just need to have a better day, that's all.
So, I mean, it sounds to me like you're pretty committed to this guy because he touches you in a special way. But, I mean, would you ever consider trying alternative methods?
Well, look, it's different processes, like I said at the beginning of the week. Okay, so I basically was broken. So you need to be panel beated first, right? Which has not happened. But now I need to properly build my body back up so this never happens again. So that's why I need to go to biokineticist, which I shall start doing from next week. And then I have to really commit to that process. And I guess you can only relate once you get into your mid-30s and plus what I'm going through here.
Oh, no.
Yeah, look, I have...
That's what you got to look forward to. Yeah. Everybody in your 20s, Sia, you're a very young man.
Yeah. One day bouncing around right
one
now.
Day you two will be old and miserable and feel like shit every morning.
And that is why old people always have that look like they've just smelt a fart, because they are just like, ugh, life. It's my body's screwed. And they always have that look on their face. And now you know why.
Oh, where do I get one of those Madonna bodies?
You have to work for those. Oh. They are the hardest work ever.
And you have to have lots of sex with young South American boys.
Yeah.
That's her proven elixir.
I like the latter.
Yeah, Sia's not scared of that last
name. Living the Vita Luca. Yeah.
Damn right. I've been reading some stuff. I went yesterday to a really interesting lunch. I had that book published last year by Jonathan Ball Publishers. There's an actual Jonathan Ball. There's an actual person called Jonathan Ball. He started publishing in 1976.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's celebrating his retirement from publishing, and he had a big lunch with... Yeah, I mean, Richard Poplack was there. Justice Malala was there.
Ooh, great company.
Yeah, it was
Justice
very...
Justice was there?
Yeah, Justice was Jesus. There. He promised me he'd be here as well.
Must be a big deal if Justice is there.
Shame. He apologized. He has a story to tell us about sleeping pills and last week and why he wasn't there.
Oh.
So we'll find out the whole truth.
Is the opposition giving him sleeping pills now so he can't
speak? Yeah, they're trying to stop him from speaking to us. He's just too honest, and he gets to the nub of what the hell's going on in the ANC faster than anyone else, and it drives them crazy. And there were newspaper editors galore. I mean, it was a fairly high-powered bunch of people. And Jonathan Ball just made this beautiful speech about kind of where we are as a country and how he's watched things. I mean, June 76, when he started, was obviously a pivotal time in South African history. And I thought he had some really interesting stories to tell. So I've asked him to come in and talk to us. He'll do that hopefully soon. It's really amazing how much talent we do have in this country. I mean, I felt like I was a bit of an imposter sitting there with really, really good authors. You know, people who've written books that have changed the country. And I thought, well, I'm sitting here, I've written two books with Jonathan Ball Publishers, and they've been more entertainment. The last one was kind of semi-autobiographical, but I felt like a fraud sitting there with, you know, these really brilliant authors. You just feel like you're in hallowed company, and someone must have made a mistake and invited me. You know how you feel sometimes, like imposter syndrome?
Yeah.
It's an actual thing.
Yeah.
By the way, listen to that door. Listen, close it, Lucas. Listen to this. Not a peep. Do you hear that? Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. The operative term is not hearing it. Yeah.
You see, now, little things like that make me so happy, you have no idea. You remember that old door? Clunk, clunk, clunk.
Well, it didn't help that an orangutan used to open it.
Yeah, well, Damon, God bless him. And I just thought, you know, we really have such extraordinary people. We focus on all the shitty people in this country too often. We focus on the politicians. We focus on all the people who cause trouble on social media. We focus on negative stuff so much of the time. And I don't know if it's a South African thing, because it does happen a lot in this country. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there are such good people here, and such talented people, and such positive and powerful people who do an incredible job of reminding us every day what good there is. We've got to focus on them a little more. It'll help us. We'll just have better days.
Exactly.
You know?
And then we'll become better as a result with the focus.
Yeah.
It's a big circle.
Because yesterday I had a talk with Ben as well outside the studio, and there's so many reasons to focus on terrible things. There really are. And it's easy to do that. And your survival mechanism, which is built into all of us, kicks in, and you start going, oh, you know, things are bad. The economy, downgrade, Malusi Gigaba, Jacob Zuma, Nkosi Sana Dlamini Zuma. By the way, got to get Poplack in here. He says Nkosi Sana Dlamini Zuma is the worst person he has ever met in his life.
Oh, no.
And he's met dictators, genocidal lunatics, drug addicts. He knows people. Test your microphone there, Lucas. Let me hear if we can hear you properly.
Good morning.
That's right, brother Lou.
That's right, my brother.
The good old producer sound is back. I asked him to keep that terrible microphone that I had installed there. It's the cheapest, ugliest microphone. I think it was used by Nat King Cole when he first recorded.
Oh, bless his
heart. So shitty. In fact, I even have an example of a song that was recorded on that microphone. Do you want to hear it?
I hope it's not My Dingaling.
No, that's what it is. This is the actual song they recorded on that microphone. Those are people on violins and fiddles. And here are the people singing. Listen to that mic. When they sing, you just get the chills. It's such great sound quality, you know?
Radio at its very best, back in the good old days. Take it away.
Right, talk to me, Lucas. It sounds the same. Go on.
Well.
Yeah, you see, it's the same. That's great. By the way, the reason, let you in a little secret here, because we don't keep any secrets from our audience, unlike, you know, radio people who are trying to sound cool and so sophisticated. We give Lucas's microphone a different sound, so you know he's in a different room. Yeah. Isn't that clever?
Yeah.
People always say to me, "Man, why does your producer sound so shitty?" Well, because then you can hear he's not actually in the studio with the rest of us. And by the way, you can call us this morning. The numbers are working. I just don't remember the numbers.
0861
555-189. They're team efforts.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Right, so but you know what?
Who's going to be our first caller back on the phones? Ooh. Let's see who we can get.
Yeah, let's do that.
0861-555-189.
You know, you're still available on Skype and WhatsApp.
Yeah, yeah, we can do all that. But we kind of like calls. We like the phone calls. Don't you remember the good old days of the phone calls, Mubs? It was such an important part of our lives.
Phone calls.
That's right.
We get your phone calls.
Sing it, baby.
We get your phone calls every day.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey.
Right. We get your phone calls. We get your phone calls every day.
The central spirit is taking over.
Phone calls. We get your phone calls.
That's right.
We get your phone calls every day.
Come on, bring it on.
Phone calls. We get your phone calls.
Hallelujah.
We get your phone calls
every day. So now you can call us on 0861-555-189. Everything that was missing before is back, and there is more. By the way, got a lot of surprises ahead of our birthday on the 1st of May. What did you want to say?
No, I don't know if it's just me, but you cut off two of your thoughts before you finished them.
Oh.
You were still talking about us getting over complaining every day, and then you started telling us about Richard Poplack and how Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini's
It doesn't matter. I talk so much shit. We'll get to it eventually, right? It's not like I've got a plan in my head. You're basically dealing with someone who has no idea of what's going to happen next.
Sorry, can I just ask one question about that Dr. Dlamini Zuma, right? Is that a real... Is she a doctor?
She's a doctor of... She's an honorary doctor of law, as I understand it. She's not a medical doctor.
Yeah,
and
I mean, can we cut the crap as humans? If you get an honorary doctorate, it means basically that you're a VIP.
Right.
It means you had one special day and somebody wanted a photo. You're not a doctor. It just discredits doctors because doctors do so much in society.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure people with actual PhDs probably feel the same way.
Let me just make absolutely sure about this. I don't want to say she's not a doctor if she absolutely is. Listen, here's Vaughn on the line from Dubai. Hey, Vaughn, what's up, brother? Vaughn,
hey guys, how's it going?
Hey, man.
I was just surprised I managed to be the first one to call.
And our phones sound fantastic. Sounds like our phones are going through Dubai and then round Siberia, up into North Korea, the asshole of the world, and then down to Antarctica before they reach us. But there you are, Vaughn, loud and unclear.
Well,
at least
it sort of works, so that's good.
Happy.
All right, Vaughn,
I'm a Russian astronaut.
What do you do in Dubai? What do you do there? You did tell us once before.
I'm a consultant for a company called JLL for hotels.
You sound like a robot right now.
Across Middle East and South Africa.
Let me just see if I can't fix this thing, damn it. Anyway, look, I'm just, all I wanted, Vaughn, I don't actually care about you at all. I just wanted to test the phone line.
Of course. I just want to talk until you can figure out the audio.
No, thank you, brother. I appreciate the call. You are the official first caller of the new year for us, because remember, we were out of the studio from January. So here you are. You are the person who gets the accolade of being the first phone caller of 2017 on the phones. Well done to you.
Phone calls, we get your phone calls. We get your phone calls every day.
That's right. All right, thank you, Vaughn.
We forgot that the Hardy Dawes also.
The Hardy Dawes are back. You'll hear them in the background soon. It's very, very exciting. She has an honorary Doctor of Law degree from the University of Natal and one from the University of Bristol, but they're honorary law degrees.
And it's honorary Doctor of Law. Yeah.
I know she studied at the University of Sussex, though, with President Mbeki. And I can't help thinking that she might have some other qualification from there that I don't know about that I'm not mentioning. She started studying zoology and botany at the University of Zululand, bachelor's degree in science, then she went to the University of Natal, and then at the University of Bristol.
Sure, okay.
So she's done a lot of studying.
No, she definitely has. But now here's my question.
She has got a diploma in tropical child health from Liverpool University School of Tropical Medicine.
Tropical child health?
How's that, huh?
Wow. That's quite something.
Don't know, but there it is. So she's not underqualified. But you know, to call yourself doctor if it's an honorary degree, I think it's just a bit sleazy.
But now here's my question.
Yeah.
When an institution offers you the honorary degree, because I feel like they're to blame here as well.
Sure.
Like why are institutions dishing out honorary degrees?
Well, it's all for publicity, you would imagine.
And if one is offered to you and you declined, would that be considered rude?
I guess so. But I mean, all they want to do is get put in the map, right? Like, who cares about University of Bristol? So they go, okay, well, let's give a doctorate out to someone.
Yeah.
You know how many doctorates Mr. Gary Player has?
Oh,
does he use them?
I have no idea.
I'm surprised he doesn't, actually.
That's the thing, is you get those two groups of people. I remember talking to Dr. Cindy once, and I said, oh, Dr. Cindy, if I was you, I'd be walking around introducing myself as, hi, I'm Dr. Cindy. And she said, oh, that's so embarrassing.
Yeah, exactly. But there's an actual doctor. All right.
Yes.
Lubabalo is on the line from the Eastern Cape. Let's see if this is any better. Hey, Lubabalo, what's up?
Hello, Colette, how are you?
Ah, perfect.
Yay.
See, it was just shitty Vaughn's line. People from Dubai are just, they're not on the level of what we have in this country. All right, so how are you, my friend? I haven't heard from you in a long time, because you obviously use an old landline phone and you listen to us via a contraption. Uh-oh, the line's just gone all fucky. What did you say?
No, just testing the line if they are working.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. You built a contraption. You only have, in the Eastern Cape, you only have landlines. You guys don't even know about mobile phones, so I'm surprised you can listen to us. I'm very, very taken by this.
Okay, thanks, guys. Bye.
He's out of there. He's like, I'm not wasting my time with
this.
That's all
he had to say.
Hey, do you want to know something terrifying about the Eastern Cape? I discovered this yesterday.
Well, you know, what's your idea of terrifying, Gareth?
Well, I was just talking about how we've got to be positive, but there are some realities that we deal with in this country that I think deserve a bit of attention, and they're not always necessarily things that we should be very proud of. You know, we have a lot of people who are on social welfare, but the average monthly income per household in the Eastern Cape, it's not even our poorest province. How much do you think it is? Household. That means the husband and the wife, or the granny and the mom, or just the mom, or just the granny. Or what do you think the average household income in the Eastern Cape is?
This is going to be depressing.
Yeah.
5,000 rand?
Yeah, I was going to say anything, 5,000 to 7,000.
$2,400.
Oh,
my
goodness.
No.
That is what an entire household, and sometimes that could be a lot of people in the Eastern Cape, that's what they live on.
And Brian Malef is getting how much for leaving a job he was terrible at?
You see, this is where I get really annoyed. And you look at, I'm not going to criticize people who've earned their own money, people who are working hard, people who've got a job that they drive early in the morning and listen to us because they're stuck in traffic for 2 hours. I'm never going to begrudge you any cent you earn. And if you become hugely rich from working hard, that's your money. You deserve it. You know, there are people in various professions in corporate South Africa who've earned good money. But if you are a politician who's responsible for the service delivery the social welfare and the well-being of South African citizens, and you expect people in the Eastern Cape to live on 2,400 rand for the household for the month. The month. 2,400 rand. I wouldn't last 5 days.
I mean, you know immediately that these are families that they don't have medical aid.
They got nothing.
They probably don't drive cars.
They got nothing.
They've got nothing.
These people barely, and in winter they're freezing, and in summer they're boiling, and they don't have food to put on the table for their kids. Half the time they can't afford the school fees. If something goes wrong, it means the end for them. They don't have a savings or an investment or anything else they can rely on. That 2,400, less than 2.5 grand a month, is all they have. It's frightening. And let me tell you another frightening statistic about this. The rural Eastern Cape spends 800 rand per month per household. Mm. Think about that. Rural Eastern Cape. They spend 800 rand a month per household. I mean, to fill my petrol tank is almost 800 rand. And I do that every week. Just think about how lucky you are before you start bitching about anything today. We've got a nice short week. We've got Friday just around the corner. The sun is up. It's a beautiful day. You're healthy, mostly, except for Ben.
I'm getting better.
You know, there are things, there are really important things going on in the world, and for anyone to sit and complain about their lives is just outrageous in a world where there's 2,400 grand to go around in an entire month in a household in the average Eastern Cape home. It's very scary. All right, let's get into it. It's time for the news. I'm so unused to digital clocks and windows, the sun beaming through. It's nice to be back in the studio. I feel like I'm home. Okay, Mabali Moloi has the latest for us, and it is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. They are the people that you should listen to when it comes to how to prepare a pizza, pasta, a great salad. Dori came in the other day. She works here in the office. Dori's our content manager. She came through. She said to me, "Oh, stop whatever you're doing and listen to this." And Dori never does that. She goes, "You have no idea how great that San Siro salad that you recommended was." As it turned out, it's the best. It's the best salad you will ever have in your life. Now I have Dori's endorsement on this. I have Ben's endorsement on this. Everybody says it's the best salad you can get. My brother the other day, I don't think he knows that Colcacchio is a sponsor here. He said to me, I had the best salad ever. I said, "I know what it is. It's the San Siro salad." He said, "Yep, that's the one. How did you know?" I said, "Please, are you kidding me? It's my salad. I made it famous."
Also with a name like San Siro salad, that it really does promise exotic. Something special.
Right. Okay, let's get straight into the news brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. If you don't have the app, download it now. Here's Mavs with the latest.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Uh-oh.
Saudi's back. Tell a friend, tell a friend.
Oh, God help us. No. All right, what is it?
If you don't tell a friend, at least he has the friends of Saudi Motsoeneng who are still adamant about their man. He's the one guy, he is their man. So, the suspended COO of the SABC gave a bit of a press conference situation yesterday afternoon. So let's see what are some of the things that he said. Oh, yes, here we go.
Well, let's just remind ourselves of his great moment on television where he said the following. I mean, he's just such an erudite.
Intellectual lecture. Uh-huh. Not academic lecture. I'm an intellectual, born as an intellectual.
Jesus Christ.
So
academic?
Well, I mean, I don't know, Ben. I almost thought that he was maybe tripping on his words because he sounded a bit drunk there. But yesterday he did describe himself as the only Saudi Motsoeneng in South Africa. In case you were confused.
Just by the way, that's because no one else wants to be Saudi Motsoeneng.
And he is looking forward to his second disciplinary hearing, Gareth, saying that he is going to walk it. He told a media conference yesterday afternoon that the court had ruled he must stay at home until his disciplinary hearing.
Are we paying him to stay at home?
Well, this is the thing.
Oh, for God's sake.
He was confident of success, and he said, I am enjoying myself. Well, sure. You know, I would too if I was, you know, going on paid.
Do you know what he's being paid?
Suspended leave. I mean, I don't...
Do you want to guess? Just remember, we just looked at the average Eastern Cape home. Average home in the Eastern Cape, 2,400 rand a month. Claudia Motsoeneng is earning 11,500 rand a day.
Oh.
A day.
Okay.
To stay at home and twiddle his thumbs and masturbate and think about himself. Just take a minute to let that sink in. Yeah. That hurts.
He added, I enjoy being fired and coming back. I enjoyed it. Some people think a disciplinary hearing is the end of work. For me, it is the beginning of the world, he said. These are all his words. The media conference was held to defend the policy of government radio stations playing 90% local music. The new SABC board wants to review this policy soon because they say that it is the policy to be blamed for declining listeners and less advertising revenue across SABC radio stations. Now, Motsoeneng said that the friends of Claudia Motsoeneng had organized a media conference because
Who are these friends? Is there anyone with a brain who would call themselves publicly the friends of Claudia Motsoeneng? I think I'd rather be known for mass murder.
Oh, well. I don't know about that.
We have one of the names, William Tetwa, who is a recording artist from the Free State who recorded a Friends of Cloudy CD.
Oh, a whole nice. CD.
Yeah, I can see what's happening here. He still thinks he's getting paid royalties by the SABC, but unlike any of the musicians, he's getting squat.
Mm-hmm.
It's an 8-track album, which is, you know, to pay tribute and honor to Cloudy Motsoeneng for all that he's done. And one of the songs on the CD is titled Cloudy Ungo Wetu, which basically is translated to Cloudy's Hours and is dedicated to him and sings. And William sings about how he will always stand behind Cloudy, come what may.
So, all right, let me make you angry. Here's some friends of Cloudy talking about him.
Let's go back now to Bloemfontein, where the court hearing in the Supreme Court of Appeal in Bloemfontein is underway against the CEO, SABC CEO Claudia Motsoeneng, and let's see if we can connect with...
By the way, the only channel to cover this at the time was the SABC. No other channel even thought it was worth covering.
Let's try again. Can you hear me now?
Good morning. We are outside the Supreme Court of
Appeal
here in Bloemfontein, where the senior counsels for the SABC, the DA, as well as the COO of the SABC, Mr. Claudia Motsoeneng, as well as the Department of Communications, are presenting their heads of arguments to a full bench of judges. We know that this case actually puts under scrutiny the powers of the public protector, and we know that all sides have indicated that whichever way it swings, they are definitely headed towards the Constitutional Court. Earlier, we saw the arrival of the public protector, various human rights organizations, as well as senior counsels for the Department of Communications, as well as the DA. Shortly after that, Mr. Claudia Motsoeneng himself also arrived to a...
You notice everybody else is just the public protector or whatever. He's Mr. Claudia Motsoeneng. They obviously issued an order when he was still there that's how they must refer to him.
Yep.
It's great, huh? But wait, I want to get to the point where they interview some of the fans of Claudia Motsoeneng, and you can hear. You can decide for yourself whether these are people who you would like to spend some time with, you know, to bounce ideas off of. These are the great innovators who will take the country forward.
Paul, good day and welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you very much. Paul, what's the significance of you being here today?
Well, I think we actually here to represent the whole idea of justice. And we believe that there are certain injustices that are actually then fundamental to this case.
This is the coordinator.
As the fact that for him...
You know, as a lot of stupid white people would say, he's so articulate, so he must be fantastic. You know when people say that?
Sure.
Mr. Motsoeneng, to have been placed in the position It was not a prerequisite for him to have had a certain type of formal qualification. So now, when he's actually then acting in the position and actually thriving in the position to require a position, a certain type of accreditation, is actually unjust. And that's basically the reason why we're here. We're here because we want to see justice being served. Just Wednesday, it was International Democracy Day. And we believe that the democracy of our country has to be upheld by even what will be happening today. So it's a fundamentally important day for the country, and we believe then we actually will get justice today.
So tell me now, what sort of outcome would you like to hear today?
Well, obviously, we are siding with...
Obviously, when this happened, the outcome was not what they wanted, because judges can't be bamboozled by nonsense.
Yes, the judges said that Mr. Motsoeneng remains on suspension until his hearing.
Okay. Everywhere where I go, people support Gauteng. Worse in the rural area. Because you know I'm a rural boy, and I'm here in Gauteng to change the mindset of people, believing that if you come from rural, you can't achieve. And I want to assure you, before you ask me questions, I'm going to apply for the job. It's a given. I'm going to apply for the job. It's a given. I'm going to apply for the job. It's a given. I'm going to apply for the job.
He earns 350,000 rand a month for sitting at home, even after they ruled his appointment unlawful.
Yep. So now, can the same court not interfere and rule in certain cases that people not be on paid leave? Or are they not allowed to get involved that way?
This paid leave thing is mind-boggling. Look at all these cops as well, these top cops that have these paid leaves.
Yeah, yeah. If the court says you were unlawfully appointed, then I think that they should also, you know, have the power to say, go on leave, but you will not be paid while you are on leave.
I don't see why anyone should ever be paid when they've been... When there's a court case or you're suspended, you should not carry on being paid.
Yeah.
Like, the reason that you got into that situation is because there was something dodgy going on. The suspicion of that means, in the meantime, sorry, we're not paying you. This isn't... Only in state employment would you get this kind of thing. I can't imagine in the private sector that they wouldn't find a way to fire you and just get rid of you. Why we have to pay for a... You know, we're still paying for Ria Piecha to sit at home.
Yes, and how many years have we been paying for her?
Since Marikana.
Well, there you go.
You know, it's like 3.5 years now.
Yep.
Add it all up, see how much it costs. It's crazy.
And then the Democratic Alliance say that they have appointed a strong, experienced legal team to deal with the disciplinary hearing of the Western Cape Premier Helen Ziller. Mm-hmm. The DA Deputy Federal Legal Commission Chairperson Werner Horn was speaking to the media, saying all three members held qualifications in law. They are Hans-Juri Molman, who is a DA councillor from Potchefstroom. Then there is Pogiso Motshosi, who is a party member but does not hold public office. And the third person is Dr. Annelie Lotriet, who is a DA member of parliament. So according to Horn, all three members of the panel hold qualifications in law. Two of the three are practicing lawyers, and they have the necessary experience also within the Federal Legal Commission. Ziller, of course, has been charged with bringing the DA into disrepute through her tweets. Now, when asked whether the party had considered opening the disciplinary hearing so that, you know, the public can go if they want to, Horn said that the party constitution doesn't allow the media or the public to attend such hearings, and the party treats disciplinary hearings as internal matters. From Federal Legal Commission point of view, everyone is equal before the law, and we really want to give everyone who stands accused the same fair treatment or trial within the rules of the DA.
That sounds reasonable, right?
Sure. I mean, would you really want to go and participate?
No.
Well, not participate, but observe.
I know. I don't think that this... I think that's a bit of a witch hunt, because you are taking someone on a 140-character tweet and you're reducing their entire life to that tweet. And you're not looking at context, and you're not looking at the contribution this woman made to South African society. You're not looking at what she's done for the struggle, and she was the person who reported first on Steve Biko being killed. She's a fearless, principled human being. and she obviously should be kept away from social media. She's one of those old ladies who should be ripped off of social media. But there is absolutely nothing that Helen said that was either untrue or worthy of her being fired. Of course, insensitive, offensive, you can claim all of those things. But for all you know, you walk into a mosque without shoes on, you're being offensive. You go to some people's houses and you say some kind of word and they get offended. So if that's the basis for people to be fired from their jobs, everyone's going to get fired. Get ready, because you're all in trouble.
Well, look, a lot of people have been saying that this is a public image issue, and, you know, the DA is seriously considering how bad she makes organization looks, and I think that that is the basis on which that they're doing this. They're worried about their public image.
They got to fire her because a lot of people were very offended by her tweet, and they're a political organization. They need to be popular, so watch this space.
I mean, it's kind of a tough spot that they find themselves in. But anyway, the DA, you know, would like to assure everyone that they have appointed a strong and experienced legal team who will apply the law in this disciplinary hearing. So, okay, I'm spent. I'll have more news headlines for you.
It's only 6:40 and Mubs is exhausted.
Done.
She's finished. Let's get straight to Ben and find out what's going on in the sport.
So much sport this morning, so forgive me if my tempo is rather swift. The SA Champions Trophy squad for the Proteas, of course, has been announced. And no real major surprises. The squad in its entirety is Hashim Amla, Quinton de Kock, Fatou Bissi, Abi Davila, JP Dumini, David Miller, Chris Morris, Wayne Purnell, Andile Petlokwayo, Kahisa Rabada, Imran Tahir, Dwayne Pretorius, Keshav Maharaj, Faihan Behaldin, and Morne Morkel. That is your team. So the big surprise there is that there's no surprise. JP Dooney, despite the fact he's got zero form, he will be that team until he basically falls over.
Ben, you can't. This one boggles your mind. Like Slady still being paid boggles mine.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, Gareth, not just my mind. I think people generally think, what the hell? But it's a pretty good side, this. And if there ever was a good side to go to an ICC Champions Trophy, it is this one. Maharaj coming in for Shamsi. People believe Shamsi should have been given the role as the second spinner behind the world's best Tahir. But selectors believe that Maharaj is better with the bat. So in crisis mode, if they are going to play two spinners in a turning pitch, at least Maharaj can hold his end with the bat. So it's a good squad. And you'll see all the other countries from around the world, all eight of them, releasing their squads. Champions Trophy basically is the World Cup without the minnow teams. If you are wondering, that's a very clear-cut way of what's going on. The British and Irish Lions also announced a squad yesterday. So they're taking on New Zealand right now. This is the big thing in rugby this year, 2017. Now, there'll be three tests that will take place June 24th, July 1st, and July 9th. So every 4 years, the British and Irish Lions, which is players made up, obviously, of the British and Irish Lions areas, so Scotland, Ireland, Wales, England. They all get together. They have a huge team. They hype the living crap out of it for about 2 months.
Right.
And off they go to a Southern Hemisphere country where they ultimately get beaten. But with Australia and South Africa so weak nowadays, then these guys must be thinking, cool, Lions tours are something in it again. Well, New Zealand aren't weak. They're still bloody strong. So I can't see them winning, but it's going to be one hell of a series. I just see that team is made up. There's 16 players from England, 12 from Wales, which is not a surprise, seeing as Warren Gatland, who is the Kiwi Welsh person, He is the coach of this team. He's named Sam Warburton as the captain. There's 11 Irish players and 2 Scottish players, despite the fact the Scots were very much better this year. But still, you would expect most of the team to be made up of English players. So more on that closer to the time. Big Champions League action last night. Could Barcelona do the impossible? Well, they were 4-0 down against PSG in the previous round. They then ended up winning that one 6-1 and they went through. Juventus, well, as I said last week, they're not going to have the same here. Too structured in defence, just too solid a team. Even in front of 98,000 people who love Barcelona and Lionel Messi, 0-0 final score there. Juventus hold on to their 3-goal
lead.
That's
almost like a South African football Premier League PSL result.
Yeah, well, Barcelona did try, but didn't seem to be able to adapt what they were trying. And Juventus, well, they just stood firm and kind of expected that result. Monaco versus Dortmund, well, didn't expect Monaco to just pile on more goals. They scored a goal early on, which meant Dortmund was screwed because of the away goal rule. And then Monaco went on to win that one 3-1 to 6-3 on aggregate. So, Monaco go through, Juventus go through, Atletico Madrid go through, and Real Madrid go through. Those Oh, you're four teams for the Champions League semi-final.
Did you just throw up a little in your mouth? What happened there?
Yeah.
See, what was that?
I mean, yo, what else is going to go wrong with you,
I'm
Ben?
Okay, guys, you really are a disaster, you know?
I'm plugging on here. PSL action last night, Gareth, talking about boring draws. Well,
yeah. What happened?
So the big top of the table clashed, right? Cape Town City versus Wits. 1-1. So City stay top, but Bidvest Wits, who are 1 point behind, 2 games in hand, so that's a good thing for them. And bookies are starting to say that Wits maybe are the favourites to take this one. Sundowns, well, they'll say screw that, because they beat SuperSports United again, 1-0. Klompko Kakani with a late goal there. And then the other match from last night, Polokwane City beat Platinum Stars 1-0, but that doesn't have much bearing. It's all about Sundowns, it's all about Cape Town City, it's all about Wits. And I think, well, Chiefs might believe they're still in the hunt there. Nah, I reckon it's between those three. In rugby news, big Super Rugby weekend ahead. And, well, the Stormers, they lost for the first time last week. They got beaten by the Lions, which means the Crusaders are the only team that are still unbeaten. And that match will take place, the Stormers versus the Crusaders. That's pretty much the big one for the weekend. But just to run you through the rest, Hurricanes versus Brumbies, Friday at 9:35. Expect the Hurricanes to win that one by about 17, 18 points. Waratahs versus the Kings. The Kings will be plucky, but the Waratahs will ultimately win this one. That's Friday at 11:45. The Lions versus the Jaguars. That'll be 7 o'clock, Friday night. Friday night in Hillbrow. No better thing to do for you and the family. Get on through. Lions to win that one by probably about 9 points.
All right.
Then Saturday morning kicks off with the Highlanders versus the Sunwolves at 7:15. Another absolute hammering for the Sunwolves. Here it comes. Go for the Highlanders by, I would say, probably about 40 points there. Then the big one, the Crusaders versus the Stormers. Ibn Etzebeth will lead the Stormers out this time round. And, well, even though these two teams had the best run going into this weekend, got to think Crusaders are going to be way too strong here. And this is a huge test for the Stormers. Their young team has done well at home, but they're going to be putting relentless pressure on their tour of New Zealand. First up, the Crusaders. Force versus the Chiefs. The Chiefs have had a bit of a tough travel schedule of late, so going into Perth, there will be probably 6 points less than they probably should be, but they'll still be too strong for the Force. 1:45 in the afternoon of that one. And then the Bulls versus the Cheetahs. Now, I hope there'll be a few more people at Loftus to watch this one.
We can only hope.
But when I say a few more, well, you can only beat. I mean, I didn't know what the attendance was last week. Probably about 1,000. So Bulls versus Cheetahs, 5:15. Look for the Bulls to win that one. And then the final game of the weekend will be the Sharks versus the Rebels in Durban, 7:30 Saturday night. Very exciting stuff, that. Also very exciting stuff, Venus Williams is pregnant.
Yay! Yay!
Apparently she was pregnant when she won her last trophy.
Well,
yeah, 20 weeks ago.
I mean, we haven't got time to get into biology, but I mean, there's pregnant and there's pregnant.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, she's now 5 months pregnant. 5 months ago, she would have been maybe a few weeks into it.
Yeah.
So. Grand Slam was when? Jan?
Yeah.
People are just trying to justify why she's the greatest sports person of all time. It's like, oh, she won when she was pregnant. She doesn't need these asterisks next to her name.
She's an amazing athlete, regardless.
Her record's kind of already saying all of that.
And do you know what I love even more? What she announced the pregnancy on Maria Sharapova's birthday.
Yeah, take that, you bitch. Gotta love that stuff.
How's that going, you corrupt woman?
Yeah. Well, that corrupts.
I won while pregnant, and yeah, let me ruin your birthday too.
That corrupt strumpet's coming back soon.
Yeah. Oh, Ben, don't you dare!
That corrupt strumpet.
Strumpet. Huh? She's not a what? She's not a strumpet. Take that
Ben,
back.
Ben hates Maria Sharapova.
I said no such thing. Anyway, the big story for the weekend though is Philip Potch, and I'll tell you why it's a big story, because we've got to push this, because the SAPC couldn't give a toss. These pricks, okay, they can broadcast Cloudy's live press conference, but can they broadcast our best sprinters in the world live? No, of course not. If you're lucky, you'll get delayed broadcast, okay? Friday, you'll get highlights from 9:30 to 10:30 on SABC2. Yay, thank you, SABC. Saturday, you'll also get highlights between 11 o'clock at midnight. You'll get highlights for an hour. Thank you, SABC. Keep paying your TV license. These guys are great.
All right.
Wait, I'm not finished.
Oh.
I even saw Usain Bolt tweet about it.
Yeah, it's bloody embarrassing. But the men's 100 meters, I mean, come on, there is so much quality here. We've got Akani Simbine, Wade Fenikirk, who is changing codes to give more for the fans. Anasa Jobadwana is a world tournament of bronze medalist. Huge effort, this. Gift Leotlela, he is the record holder for the junior 100 meters. Henrico Brenchis, who is the current SA champ. And then Tando Roto, okay, also sub 10. All of those guys can run a sub 10. all of them. Wow. And these pricks can't even broadcast that. Then we got Elisa Conley, who's going to do exactly the same for the women's in the 100 and 200. She's the defending champ there. There's so many events here, okay? So Sunetful, you're going to be throwing javelin again. Luvo Manyongo, Olympic silver medalist, also in action. Carlos Semenya will be there, but she's running the 400 and the 800 this time around, not doing the 1.5. Mm-hmm. And then 400-meter hurdles, LJ Fonsale, national record holder, will be in action there. Cornel Fredericks, the Commonwealth Games champion, in action there. Then LaRue Haman and Lindsay Hanekom, all Olympians. These are just some of the amazing events we can see at the SA National Athletics Championships this weekend. We'll be in Potchefstroom. Forget about trying to get it on TV. Get to Poch if you're in the area.
Yeah, see if you can support
these guys. Deserve our support.
All right. Thank you, Ben.
Now I'm finished, Gareth.
All right. Well, here are questions and comments for you after the sport. JP is shit only on tests, but in ODIs, he's bloody good, Ben, says somebody.
Yeah. All right.
Then someone else says, question for Ben. Do you think that if Dumini was white, he would be out of the squad? I feel he's in for the wrong reasons.
Well, he wouldn't be out of the squad because he wouldn't be in the squad in the first place.
All right. And then another comment here. Guys, you spoke about depression last week, how people are affected by mental illness. Cloudy is definitely not depressed. In my view, actually an eternal optimist. However, all the chips are not in the packet. The lights are on and no one is home. I'm not sure that he's mentally sound. Well, you're not the first one to suggest that. But who are we to speculate
who
on
this? Who are we? We hold no health. Degrees to diagnose no. people with mental illness.
I regularly diagnose people with mental illness, but that's as an amateur. I do it for fun in my spare time. I'm not trying to do it as a professional. Let's get to Anthea and find out what's happening with our money. Take it away.
She works hard for my money. Anthea, she works hard for your money. Anthea, she works hard for her money. So we better treat her right. Anthea, she works
That's
hard
right.
for
Here
her
she
money.
Is. Good morning, Anthea.
Anthea
good morning, Gareth.
Nice. We're back in our old studio, so when you come in next Monday, you'll know where to go, right?
Oh, I do remember.
All right.
And it's so good to hear Lucas speaking to me clearly. He used to have the worst static on his line.
I know. We've sorted that out too. All right. So, Anthea, there's quite a lot going on. Where do we begin today? Shall we start with yesterday's markets?
Yep. So, yesterday, the all-share graph was pretty much a top left to bottom right. Started positive and then just kind of shrank into negative. Quarter of a percent in the red we closed yesterday. Volumes below average. I think there's a lot going on. There's a lot of uncertainty going on. The Rand undecided. It can't decide whether it wants to be weaker or stronger. It really is all over the place. And then the share indices also fairly directionless, no conviction. Resources and industrials were down 1/3%. Banks were up about 0.25%. So you can see there's just nothing in it. I mean, most of the action is still global. It's now US earnings reporting season, which is in full swing. And that's also proving to be a bit of a mixed bag. From the big counters, IBM was down about 5%. They reported larger than expected drop in their revenue. While Morgan Stanley was up 2%, really helped to push the US futures up yesterday. Pretty decent set of results from Morgan Stanley. I mean, there were a couple of headlines saying that they'd outperformed Goldman Sachs, which is quite funny because that kind of tension between the two companies is real. Like, the competition there is real. And then Janet Yellen yesterday put out what is called the Beige Book. And basically, it's the Fed's report on the state of
that
the economy.
So, that sounds so boring. The Beige Book.
I know.
Wow.
I also think so. Such a terrible name. I don't know why it's called that, actually. I'll have to look that up.
Well, it's probably because it's a very boring thing.
Well, it's kind of the book that's released 2 weeks before the Fed meeting and gives us insights into kind of the regional economy and how it's performing. And to make it even more boring.
What did I say about it being boring?
But Gareth, what's worse is that the Fed have cottoned onto this phrase and they keep using it to describe the economic situation in the U.S. modest to moderate. I think they've used it about 4 or 5 times now. Yeah. Running, so it is boring. Actually,
sounds great. Sounds absolutely awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be premature to expect the Fed to raise interest rates again so soon after the last March hike in 2 weeks' time. So, We'll see. I mean, really, you're right, boring. Moving on. French elections are back in focus again. So that and all of these things just keeping people sitting on their hands, I think.
Yeah, I think there's huge uncertainty. And as we discussed yesterday with Theresa May calling elections in Britain, people, the only thing that makes them worried is the uncertainty. They would like to know exactly what's going on. And if investors know that, then they put money where they want it to be. If they're not sure, they hold their money. They don't do anything with it. That's when markets are a little bit stale.
Yeah. A lot of people always say that the money to be made is when the markets are volatile, but that's for traders, you know. Yeah. It doesn't suit us as long-term investors, does it?
Here's Julian. Julian says, what is happening with that piece of shit Stellar Capital? I bought that pony at R2.30.
Oh, Julian, you and me both.
Oy vey, it's got to happen.
Yeah, but you remember we had Charles in a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, he pleads a good case. I really hope something happens.
Yeah, we need to give him a chance. And then back home, Pick n Pay released their results yesterday. Turnover was up 7%, a bit of a miss. Market expectations was 7.6%. Earnings was up 18%, so a decent amount of margin magic there. But the share was down 4% yesterday, and really just markets or investors expecting more from them. Revenue growth in South Africa was the weakest amongst its peers at 3.3%, while the rest of Africa revenue growth was 8.7%. And here's a metric that always gets me a bit anxious, I think. Their gross margins increased by 8 basis points, so 0.08%. I mean, that seems small, but the problem with that is, as an investor, you like to see companies that are able to expand their margins, but as a consumer, I really don't like to be charged more than I should be. and I mean, it's silly because at the detailed level, it's actually not that simple. You know, these margins move. It's not like Pick n Pay can suddenly put their prices up and down as the petrol price moves up and down every month or as the rand changes every single day. So there are a lot of kind of inputs into this number. But I think it's worth noting that Richard Brashers, the CEO, seemed quite determined yesterday to get customers through the door. And he wasn't shy of you saying that he was prepared to use discounts and price cuts to get us into the shop. So that's quite nice, I guess. And then we did see CPI inflation yesterday come in at 6.1%. That was March's CPI from the previous February, 6.3%. So a real relief considering our last couple of weeks of rand weakness and downgrades. I mean, mostly that number was impacted by the drop in food inflation, which came in at 8.7%, well off its high of 12% during the drought. And then that's pretty much it. Yeah, I mean, this morning we've got gold and oil coming off slightly, Asia trading higher. I think Asia more kind of on the expectation of a positive U.S. earnings coming through. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it. Hopefully we'll see some positivity seep through into our market.
You say that often, and sometimes it actually happens. Let's hope for it. Thanks, Anthea.
Hopefully today.
Every morning, some expert market analysis, some commentary on what's going on with assets that you should or shouldn't own, and all kinds of other things to do with your money every day here on CliffCentral.com with Anthea Gardner from Cartesian Capital. If you have any questions for her, if you want to find out about hashtag invest or anything else, Anthea@Cartesian.co.za. That's CARTESIAN. And she's very busy, but she makes time for everybody. Somehow she always finds time. It's quite incredible. All right, when we come back, we will have Justice Malala and the Burning Platform, powered by Nando's. What is it, Sia?
So, I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Oh, you're off to go. This is very important. Listen to what Sia's doing.
Very snazzy.
Tell everybody how important you are.
Sia's far going to, from it.
Sia's judging the PRISM Awards,
yes,
which is the country's biggest PR award.
Very fun. See, I have my cloak in my car ready for the day of judging, but
you.
It's very exciting.
Look at your shoes.
What's that?
I can tell by your shoes. You weren't here for the whole show.
Let me see the shoes.
The shoes are like a two-tone of shine.
Those patent leather? That's very impressive.
Well, when Sia comes in the fancy shoes, he's going somewhere.
All right, Sangwe.
But okay, I'll let you know how it goes tomorrow.
Excellent. We'll get an update on that from Sia Sangweni tomorrow. Justice Malala coming up next. CliffCentral.com.